People talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting and falling down deep. If you don't love it, lead it, let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me. Just how long the rest of us can count and be free. They learn our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, if you don't love it, leave it. This song I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting and falling down deep. If you don't love it, leave it. You're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. And that's the name of this program here on altrighttv.com or whiteresistanceradio.com. Well, this is Saturday, the 6th of June. I spent much of this afternoon in downtown Toronto at Queen's Park. That's the grounds of the Legislative Assembly in Ontario, or the provincial government, in other words. And for the, I believe, sixth Saturday in a row, there was a large end the lockdown protest. And we were there for about 2 hours, from noon till shortly after two, and then we went marching east along College Street, up Bay, across Wellesley, and then down Church Street through part of the so-called gay village. And from way up in one of those apartments, a couple of those apartments actually, on the balcony, I suppose assorted homosexuals made rude noises and faces at us, of course, safely out of harm's way. And then we marched back to along College Street to Queen's Park. We received good cooperation from the Metropolitan Toronto Police, who blocked, they allowed us to march down along a sidewalk and one side of the road. So they temporarily blocked the streets along the route, and it was a very spirited protest. We were emphasizing such things as free speech, no compulsory vaccinations, open the churches, and you know, this is a very strong point. The organization of the thinking in the province of Ontario and most of the rest of Canada is that only essential services would be permitted to open, and even those under some restriction. So, for instance, in Ontario, drug stores, grocery stores, liquor stores, and even marijuana dispensaries are open. They're essential services. Hairdressers, barbershops, dentists, except for emergencies. We're not essential services. So, you know, what got designated as essential and non-essential is very arbitrary. But churches were considered a non-essential service. Now, if you're at all a spiritual person, I think you would agree that as important, or at least very important to you, just as access to food would be, obviously, is access to the practice of your religion. And with that genius that has seen him cut through to the important thing, the important factor in so many issues. Now, President Trump, about 2 weeks ago, said he wanted, in the United States, churches to be declared essential services. So that was another one of the points we made. And as protesters, we're urging people to look at the facts and think for themselves. Don't be a sheeple. And so many people in Canada are terrified. I didn't realize this until I began to hear anecdotally, and these are stories I trust because I know the informants. People in their 20s, terrified out of their minds. I know of a couple who are healthy, employed, they're working from home. One, she's an accountant, I forget what he is, but they live in a townhouse that cost them $1 million. So you know, they're educated, intelligent, young, they're in their late 20s, and 30, and healthy. All the good things. They are so afraid of the coronavirus. They have not left their townhouse for 13 weeks. I'm sorry, 11. So, nearly 3 months. That's how afraid they are. They've bought the Kool-Aid. They've slurped a good old double of that Kool-Aid. They honestly believe this stuff. And also, incidentally, they're healthy. If I understand fear on the part of somebody who has a very compromised system, say you've got very bad lungs, coronavirus would not be a good thing for you to get. No flu would be a good thing for you to get. They have everything going for them, and they are terrified. They don't even want their siblings of roughly the same age bracket to visit them. Why? Because they'd have to wipe down the whole house, the whole townhouse. No, people are buying into this. Some people are buying into this. So this is the sixth week in a row for this protest in Toronto. We're a couple weeks behind our compatriots in Vancouver. Tomorrow Sunday will be the eighth Sunday in a row. In Kelowna, this was the third Saturday in a row, and I don't yet have a report on how that went in Kelowna, British Columbia. Anyway, of course, the big news today was not the end the lockdowns protest, but more Black Lives Matter and sympathetic protests. And the big theme is now anti-racism. And there were to be protests in Toronto. We could see the protests at one point coming up University Avenue, but the police diverted it, or they diverted themselves, we're not sure, to City Hall. So we never came very close. Now, near the end of our protest, it's supposed to end at 3, but people hang around. People enjoy socializing with others. We're beginning to recognize faces from previous protests. We know that the Antifa have or several photographers in there snapping our pictures, but most of us, frankly, don't care. I'm standing up for freedom. I don't wear a mask. I don't wear a disguise. I am who I am, and I'm going to stand up for freedom, and I don't care what scumbag Antifa knows about it or thinks about it. In fact, I even had a little confrontation with one. Apparently he's a Jew, and I don't know what his problem is. I told various things by several people who claim to know him, but anyway, he said, "What's your name?" You know, that's not normally the way a conversation opens. I said, "Well, are you with the media?" I mean, I can understand that. No, he said. So I thought, well, what's it to you? So I gave him my business card, which identifies me as Paul Fromm, director of the Canadian Association for Free Expression. He took a look at it and scrunched it up and dropped it on the ground. I picked it up. Not so much because I'm against litter, but I mean, I was really curious. Well, later, he was being interviewed by my good friend, Leslie Borey. And Les is, among other things, a citizen journalist. And Les's video of today's protest will be up on the internet late Sunday. And of course, if you'd like to see it, go to our website, our being the cafe, the Canadian Association for Free Expression, and check it out. But anyway, Les interviewed him. At one point, he tried to hit Les and had to be, directed elsewhere. But other than that, that was the only incident, and even that was not a big deal. So at about 3:15, as we were beginning to wind down and go in our various directions, I saw Black Lives Matter beginning to filter down University Avenue from the north to the north end of the south side of Queen's Park, right outside the legislative buildings. And we thought, this would be a good time to leave. I mean, our protest was already over, and we did. It was a very successful afternoon on our part, entirely peaceful. I'm still waiting to hear reports about the Black Lives Matter protests that went on all afternoon and into the evening. We do know the police were prepared for big problems. Many buildings in the downtown core of the city had put wood, plywood over their windows, and covered over their windows with plywood. In fact, I was told by a source in the industry that there was actually a shortage of plywood in Toronto. Kind of ironic, we're a wood producing, a major lumber and wood producing country. There must have been some credible intelligence that there was going to be trouble, and bad trouble. Now, as far as I know, it did not develop. It could develop tomorrow. We do know that a group of anarchists are coming in from Montreal to dress entirely in black and have been involved in a lot of street violence. And I've got to say, I have never seen windows boarded over as a precaution in Toronto. Even during the Vietnam War, when there were anti-American protests and pro-communist rallies, most of them focused at the United States Consulate. There were a couple of so-called peace rallies in Toronto in the 80s that were communist-inspired, and to try to get President Reagan to shut down his Star Wars program, which eventually won the Cold War. I'll come back to that in just a sec. Even back then, although one or two of these protests did do smash a few windows in the downtown area, I don't ever remember seeing these type of precautions in my lifetime. So that's from the 60s on. I've never seen this. So we are a society on very much on edge. I did mention that the President Reagan's Star Wars program essentially won the Cold War. This is how it happened. Star Wars used laser and missile technology and extremely good radar. And what it was able to do would be to track incoming missiles, nuclear missiles coming from the Soviet Union, and shoot them down. Now, they were confident that that would work almost all of the time. And that broke what was called MAD, Mutual Assured Deterrence. And that was what kept the uneasy peace from, you know, about 1950, for 30 years, 30-some years. The realization that if Russia fired its missiles at North America, we would fire ours at them, they would be absolutely devastated, at least that was the thinking, and we would be too. So the priority became to do, there would be all sorts of conflict, but it would always be short of an actual nuclear war, because both sides knew or believed, and I think there's some reason to doubt that that would have been the reality, but this is what we believed at the time, that a nuclear war would be unwinnable, at least with the Soviet Union, because we would be so devastated, they would be so devastated, so why do that? Well, what the Star Wars did was, it sabotaged MAD, or Mutual Assured Destruction, because it would mean that very few, if any, incoming Soviet missiles would land. They'd be destroyed in space. Needless to say, to keep up with that, the Soviets had to really hustle. And this is where our economic superiority won the day. Soviet Russia, simply ran out of money. That they couldn't compete. It's like a poker game. Your opponent keeps raising the stake. Well, you've run out of money. You can't continue playing the game. And it was at that point that the Soviet system began to disband. They simply couldn't continue. Anyway, even back when there were, of course, organized communist-inspired demonstrations, this is part of the Soviet Union's global political tactics. I don't ever remember buildings in downtown Toronto being boarded up for fear of street violence. That's how bad the fears were today. Well, I'm going to switch to another take on the whole Black Lives Matter, and these are the two videographers, Jim Rizzoli and Diane King, and this is a program they put out on the 4th of May, and I just want to read the introduction, because this is a video, so obviously you can't see it. The rest, of course, is sound. They show a...
Hi everyone, Jim Rizzoli here.
I'm sorry, before they do that, they showed a chart which I found very interesting. Okay, do these statistics bother you? Leading causes of death among Negroes in the United States since 1973. Now, you may kind of wonder what these were. AIDS has killed 227,695 Negroes since 73. Violent crime, 329,313. Accidents, like, I guess these would be mostly motor accidents, 408,723. Cancer, 1,324,250. Heart disease, 2,503,789. Abortion, 14,500,000 Negroes have perished since 1973. So the major killer of blacks in the United States is abortion. Anyway, we now get into the take by Don King and Jim Rosoli about this whole Black Lives Matter thing. It's an interesting, wide-ranging discussion.
Hi everyone, Jim Rosoli here in Communist Massachusetts.
Diane King in East Texas. You come in here, we protect you. How about that?
Right. Well, today's topic has to do with the events that we see happening around us here. And we know that this Black Lives Matter, the BLM movement, or the Bowel movement, I guess I you could call it, is a big thing, okay? And everybody is making a big deal about it. The cities, the towns, everybody, even where Diane lives, I'm sure it's happening somewhere, you know? Very disturbing, because here's a guy, this George Lloyd, that had a very bad track record with the police, and his life was not a good lifestyle to emulate. Let's put it this way. He was not a choir boy here, okay? And, you know, the guy died, and I do recognize that, you know, what happened to him was not good. It was a horrible situation. But it's how it's being used by the blacks and the Jews and everybody else that wants to make an issue out of something that's really not an issue. I mean, there's more white guys that are shot by police than ever with blacks. I mean, really. And yet they make a big deal out of the blacks. Diane, what would you like to add to that?
Well, we don't really know. There's so much misinformation going out there. We really don't know what the story is, whether this George Lloyd was part of a staged event to try to stir up the races against each other. The policeman that supposedly did this was a co-worker of his at a bar. They were like bouncers together. They may have had a beef with each other. Both of them were huge guys. Again, we don't know what happened, but we do know, regardless of the projected hoaxes here and there, we do know for sure that there were riots, that buildings and businesses are destroyed, that people are being killed. That's not a hoax.
Right. So the whole thing is here is, this is just an opportunity for blacks to just run rogue like wild elephants and destroy everything. And they're not being disciplined, the kids, obviously, no one cares. I mean, the families must be incredibly bad when you see kids acting like this. But, you know, I did notice there are white kids involved. It's just not all blacks. I can't blame all the blacks, but it seems like predominantly they were mostly blacks. Up here, there was a mixture of them, you know, because they get along so well, you know. That's why there's a mixture of them.
Oh, yeah.
But let's think about this. We have a woman up here who has a cable, well, I don't know if it's a cable show, it's a podcast show. And she uses her Facebook and sends it out, and you can watch her. You know, she goes and protests Governor Baker because, you know, she feels he's a rhino governor, which he is. He's a scumbag governor. And she's a patriot type of woman, okay? She really is. She wants this country to be a great country again. She sees all the problems happening. But here's the issue with these type of people, okay? They only scratch the surface, you know, a micron. They don't understand the whole picture. So they'll complain about the BLM movement, just like we are now, saying how bad it is and what they're doing. It's a big bunch of baloney. But they don't understand. Here's the point of all this, folks, and I don't see anybody really making the point, okay? Follow the money, okay? So we have the Black Lives Matter movement. We have Antifa. So follow the money. Who gives these groups the money to operate and do what they do? And the answer is, Miss Diane?
Well, it looks like it's the Jews in general, Soros specifically.
Okay. It's any Zionist Jewish movement. They back up the black movements. They black up any movement that comes against the white, people in general. Okay?
We've been determined as public enemy number one, particularly males, white males.
Yeah.
And so we become everybody's enemy. And the white male is also the strong man. And right. So you get rid of the strong man, then you can basically have your way with the country.
Right. Now, here's another thing, and I'm sure you folks watching this understand this. If you ever go to one of these rallies and you put up a sign that says, "All lives matter."
Yeah.
Oh,
that's considered racist.
All lives matter now. You're going to get the blacks coming up to you probably wanting to beat the crap out of you. Right?
That's right, because it's suggesting racism, and almost like an assault against them.
Right.
Because we reject their black only lives matter.
I mean, can you imagine? Here's a situation that the majority of black people, for the most part, think what happens to this George Floyd guy was a horrible thing, okay? Because we don't know all the facts yet, and we don't even know what the heck happened. Was it staged? Was it? I don't even care. The point is, an event happened to where it is now that we're seeing it being used for what it is. And the blacks are using this again. It's a rally cry for them. They love stuff like this, okay? Mm-hmm. And the Jews love stuff like this because it comes against the whites. Right, Diane? What do you think?
It comes against the strong man.
Yeah.
And this happened at the O.J. Simpson trial, Rodney King. There have been numerous race riots since then. It occurred to me, these policemen have been arrested. If they are tried and anything but the worst possible sentence, we're going to have this rioting all over again.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just an ongoing story. It's almost like they love it when stuff like this happens. But again, white guy gets shot by the cops, or white guy gets his head trampled on by the cops, you won't even see it in the news. Okay, so basically, we have a situation here that is just being used by the media to stir up bad race relations between blacks and whites.
And the Democrats, Jews, particularly against Trump, too.
Oh, this is all gonna be used against Trump.
Yes. Everything. Election year perfect.
Right. Yeah. So it's not going to end, folks. Okay, that's all I'm saying is this summer, okay, when the summer comes, well, summer's here now pretty much, and we're going to see a lot more of unrest happening. And again, the blacks are just going to continue on with this and make us look racist. Now, what really gets me is we agree with them that this is a horrible event, but we're still racist. No.
Well, they have to have a villain and a boogeyman. And the Jews can't have a strong white presence because they determined that that was their undoing in other countries that had a strong white presence, like in Germany.
Yeah.
And most of Europe. You've got to get rid of them because when the white man there, then they can't do their evil deeds without being detected. They got to get rid of the white man, and then they can do their evil deeds.
All right. Now, getting back to this woman that had this podcast show, again, she's a wonderful woman, but now think about this, okay? Diane tried to get in touch with her at one time. Tell us what happened. Now remember, here's a woman you think would be, you know, she's against censorship, everybody should have this say, you know, blah, 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 okay? Talk is cheap. So, Diane, explain what happened with this woman, what you tried to do.
I had just been removed from Ashland's cable show unceremoniously.
That's a town over from me, folks.
Yeah, one town. I had five shows on one over there. I've had good relationships with the person who, it took me 8 months to get the show on. But we had good relationship for about 3 years, and all of a sudden, she decided, coincidentally, right after the video dealing with black conservatives, decided that my videos weren't acceptable. She wouldn't return my phone calls, nothing. Essentially what they did, got a lawyer involved, a little tool, and basically told me that my shows were not acceptable because, one, I had Jim Rizzoli on them, and Jim Rizzoli was banned on YouTube. That was the main reason. They didn't have to give an excuse or reason. They just didn't want my shows on anymore. And that next week, the Supreme Court came down and said that cable shows don't have to exercise freedom of speech for their clients. So this person, the scout found out about this, and she and I talked about it. She wanted to have me on her show. And she didn't know exactly what the topic of my most of my videos were. When she found out it was dealing with the Third Reich and we were Holocaust deniers, then she, rather than just me and her, she wanted to have a rabbi on, like call in the reinforcements. And we know what happens when rabbis come on to show who we are involved. I've seen what's happened. They absolutely hijack the narrative, the program, and nobody gets to say anything, and it ends up becoming a shouting match. I asked her, why don't you just have me on the first time? And then we'll come back, because I've introduced this topic of Holocaust denial and so on. Then you bring in your reinforcements, your rabbi, but get to know my story first without competition. Nope, I hadn't heard from her since then, until I made contact with her for her anti-lockdown demonstration in Massachusetts.
So basically, here's a woman that's very concerned with censorship. She was kind of interested in hearing what Diane had to say, but when Diane didn't want to be on the show with a rabbi, only because we know what happens, then she just chickened out of the whole thing. Point being is, these people that the Republicans now, remember, they're not Democrat people. These are truther, quote, truther people. And they're against censorship, they're against everything. But it only goes so far.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
It only goes so far. It's their censorship that they want to be removed. See, they want to be able to have their say about how bad Democrats are, how bad, you know, this group is or that group is. But when it comes to the overall truth of any topic, if the topic goes against, you know, their grain here, they're not going to talk about it. Okay, now, let me just update this. Now, all you know that I'm really good friends with Phil Lucha, and, you know, we talk all the time, and we're going to be doing more videos. Now, he wanted to get on her show, and I said, great, sure. You know, email and see what she has to say. In my mind, I know she's not going to respond. I know she's not. Okay, so
he doesn't know who he is, likely, for one thing.
But she doesn't know who he is, really, and he explained a little bit. So he emailed her, and, you know, she never got back.
Not her topic, actually.
Yeah, well, that's right. Her topic is Trump, you know, the government, you know, how bad the Democrats are, okay? And again, I'm not saying that's not good. I like seeing people speak out against those things. But in regards to the complete truth of everything, all topics, you know, she's just not on board, okay? So, again, you know, Fred was shut down with her. We'll see what happens. I mean, maybe something in the future might happen, but I really doubt that. But again, getting back to my whole point about the Black Lives Matter movement and all these movements, they're just shill organizations that the Jews are using to keep the races apart fighting. That's all they are. The money is Zionist money, Jewish Zionist controlled money. That's who supports these people. That's who gets them all worked up. And it's just going to continue on, but yet the knucklehead, you know, people that are so-called in the truth of movements, they don't get it. They don't understand. You have to look beyond the movement. Look at who's putting money into the movement. That's what exposes a movement. Okay, it's not the people that get the money. Okay, it's the people that are supplying the money. The Jews, the Zionist Jews, are providing the money for these movements, and that's how they survive. And that's how it works. I even heard they paid, well, I know this, so they paid people to, go and...
protest, to riot, yeah.
Yeah, they pay these people. They get these people.
Guns.
They'll bring them in with the buses or whatever. And then the cops are so stupid. I mean, think about this. We are going to kneel with you. And then the next thing you know, a nice brick is coming through to his head. You know what I mean?
Yeah, through his police car, yeah.
These cops are so stupid. But what happened is they've been told to stand down, let these people do what they have to do or whatever. But now what they're doing is they're destroying everything. They're destroying the cop cars, burning them, ramshackle.
Police stations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, really, cops? You're going to give these people a knee? They need a knee in their head. That's where they need a knee. I mean, but no. We got to show solidarity, you know, the schools that took, you know, solidarity with the Black Lives Matter, and the hell with the whites. And, you know, we're not all racist, people. I mean, you know what I'm saying? There are people that are racist. I understand that. And they have their reasons to be, okay? I'm not a racist. Diane's not a racist. But we don't agree with these people at all and how they're handling themselves and what they're doing. And, stand for more problems. We're going to see more problems coming up, I'm sure, in the future about all this crap. And if you want to, go to one of these group meetings when they're in the streets, you know, bring your son, yeah. All Lives Matter, and let's see how long you last there, right?
Well, that was Diane King and Jim Rizzoli. I was sent a very interesting document earlier today by a good friend of mine. I've known him for many, many years, Jerry. And Jerry sent this report to me that I must admit I had not seen before. I found the information absolutely amazing. and I have I'm trying to find it again. I'm telling you, these things have a way of just hiding themselves, don't they? But anyway, we'll get that up for you. And it deals with a man who, a white man, who was murdered by the police. And this is called the Picture of Racism in America, but probably not quite what you might have thought. And I'm going to read that to you right now. I want to again thank Jerry for sending this to me. Let everyone see racist America, our role model. We've been hearing a lot about racism and systemic racism and so on. The man on the left is Joe Timpa. In 2012, he's a white guy, blonde hair. He was strangled during a police intervention in Dallas, Texas. He asked for help more than 30 times during the intervention. He repeated to the police that he would be killed. The police knelt on him for 14 minutes, even though his arms and legs were handcuffed. He was a white guy in Dallas, Texas. When Timpa fainted after 14 minutes of suffering, the police joked with each other because they thought he was asleep. The investigation later revealed that police officers waited almost 5 more minutes before bothering to call for help. By the time the 32-year-old man was being attended to, he was dead. Tony Timpa was never punished, and he had called the police himself. An autopsy later classified his death as murder. And now for the best. The intervening police returned to active duty after a short forced pause. The media made few mentions, even 3 years later. Celebrities, corporations, and influencers remained silent. No one protested and no cities burned. On the other hand, contrast that with George Floyd. That's the Negro who died in Minneapolis about 2 weeks ago. He died as a result of the exact same intervention. The exact same treatment that Tony Timpa went through in Dallas, Texas. Floyd was convicted 9 times, including of robbing a pregnant woman. The police who were the 4 policemen who were involved in the assault are in custody and have been charged with murder. Or the policeman who did it has been charged with murder. The others are accessories. The media, celebrities, and corporations and influencers may break up to express support for what is happening in his name now. American cities are on fire. There's mass looting and racially motivated attacks on white Americans. Well, what's the difference? Well, one had black skin. The one was only white. Poor Tony Timpa was white. No corporations, no organizations No media celebrities came running to his defense. On the other hand, a man who really was a career criminal, George Floyd, has all sorts of important people, politicians, movie stars, big names, corporations, all weighing in there behind Black Lives Matter. And so here's the hashtag, White Lives Matter. Or they should matter. I think this is an incredibly powerful story, and an incredibly sad story, which, you know, you probably will say, as I did when Jerry sent it to me, I hadn't heard of this before, and I consider myself pretty well informed. This is just one more example of our being badly served, and that's being very polite about it, by our lamestream media. Well, this is Paul Fromm. I'm going to take my musical break now and preach you to the voice of a fine Southern fellow from North Carolina, Randy Travis. He's just got a great voice. Hope you like some of his ballads. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the Fighting Side of Me.
You may think that I'm talking foolish. You've heard that I'm wild and I'm free. You may wonder how I can promise you now. This love that I feel for you always will be. sitting there. I've spent a lot of time thinking of this perfect love. I know it's yours and mine. And oh, how I love that old picture on the wall of you and me and the kids. My most favorite times in life I've spent right here where we
wishing she was. same old lost love story. It's sad, but it's true. There was a time when she was mine.
It's really touching.
A farmer and a teacher, a hooker and a preacher, riding on a midnight bus bound for Mexico. One was headed for vacation, one for higher education, and two of them were searching for lost souls. That driver never ever saw the stop sign. And 18-wheelers can't stop on a dime. There aren't three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, heaven only knows. I guess it's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. That farmer left to harvest a home in 80 acres. The faith and love for growing things in his young son's heart. And that teacher left her wisdom in the minds of lots of children and did her best to give them all a better start. And that preacher whispered, can't you see the promised land? As he lay his bloodstained Bible in that hooker's hand. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, heaven only knows. I guess it's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. That's the story that our preacher told last Sunday, as he held that blood-stained Bible up for all of us to see. He said, that's the farmer and the teacher and the preacher. We gave this Bible to my mama, who read it to me. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, now I guess we know. It's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. There are three wooden crosses on the right.
And this is Paul Fromm, that's Randy Travis, and you're on the fighting side of me. Back with you again tomorrow, and I sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me.
In days of yore, from Britain's shore, Wolfe the dauntless hero came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here may it wave our boast, our pride, and joined in love together, the thistle, shamrock, rose, and wine, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. At Queenston Heights and Lundy's Lane, our brave fathers side by side for freedom, homes and loved ones dear, firmly stood and nobly died. And those dear rights which they maintained, we swear to yield them never. Our watchword evermore shall be the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf.